so good to me. Monday morning, it was all I hoped.
We're back. It is the weekend recap, January 7th, 2019. I wrote down 2018. I am that guy already this year. It's just been one of those weekends for me. That's all I'm going to say. In the landscape of things, this has not been a great weekend for B-Frank. Sam is here with me, coming off of pretty much fresh off of the finish of the Bears-Eagles game. But before we get to that one, we will go into the other NFL playoff games, chronologically starting Indianapolis and Houston. Colts 21-7 win. They were up 21-0 pretty quickly and seemed to cruise the rest of the way. Deshaun Watson was not good whatsoever for the Texans, kind of, hopefully, pumping the brakes a little bit on the, oh man, why did the Bears go get Mitch Trubisky when they could have had Deshaun Watson or Pat Mahomes? There's a lot to be said in that argument, but I'll just say that, you know, in the big game, Deshaun Watson crumbled.
Yep, that's right. And like you said, the Colts got off to that huge lead and then kind of never looked back. Mm-hmm. And as we said, the Houston defense looked really impressive in the second half, but obviously none of it mattered when they couldn't
right.
put points on the board. And then the Colts running back, what is his name?
Marlon Mack. Yeah.
The fact that they did the return of the Mack stuff instead of rather than Khalil kind of ruffled some Bears fans' feathers. But he had, what, 148 yards, two touchdowns, something like that. So he looked like a world beater out there. So, yeah, and everybody's so high on the Colts, so they won 10 of 11, everything. But and, like, they didn't really have to, but kind of a chink in their armor maybe is they did absolutely nothing offensively in the second half.
Yeah, and I can't remember if it's Zeke or if it's Marlon Mack, but there were a couple stats about running backs where if he got 20 carries or more in a game, the team was like 8-0. Or maybe it was over 100 yards rushing for Marlon Mack that his team was like 8-0 or 7-1.
Yeah.
It showed. He had a great game on the ground. He is emerging as one of the top running backs in the league. And I'll throw this out to you. I know Patrick Mahomes is probably going to win the MVP, and he's had a great season. Why is Andrew Luck not getting any talk? This team was putrid last year, like truly terrible. And then he comes back, probably not even 100%, and they're a playoff team in the divisional round of the playoffs this year.
Well, yeah, if not for Patrick Mahomes and his kind of all-world numbers, like you said, Andrew Luck dragged him back from just an absolutely awful season when obviously he was injured last year.
Yeah.
And they started 1-5, 1-5 this year, and then just
lit it up.
Like you said, just kind of caught fire, and he's got 39 touchdown passes, which is pretty damn good. And they, during the Bears game tonight, they said that, 89 touchdown passes is the most, like, ever in a playoff game combined. Jeez. Touchdown passes. So that'll be kind of previewing that game, that which we won't get into too heavily, but that'll be an interesting, hopefully some offensive fireworks after some pretty darn good defense this weekend in the rest of the games.
For sure. Moving on, Dallas outlasts Seattle 24-22. The Seahawks just could not put it together when they needed to, and Dallas jumped out early and then kind of just, they didn't really coast. They were still working hard to make plays, but it just didn't click until they needed it to.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson, of course, had a wonderful fourth quarter drive, but it was kind of too little too late.
Yeah.
When you end up losing by two.
Unbelievably bad beat for gamblers out there that had the Cowboys minus 2.5.
2.5.
Janikowski goes down at the half with a leg injury, and all of a sudden they have to go for two instead of kicking the extra point.
Yeah.
I
don't want to speculate too much, but yeah, especially when you have basically a rock, Janikowski, who's kicked really long field goals for a really long time, not having him, like, it puts more pressure on the offense to get in the end zone.
It does.
That they just were obviously unable to do that enough, and that's why they lost by 2 points.
And Dallas rolling on to the next round somehow, some way. Yeah. L.A., the Chargers beat Baltimore 23-17. Game the Chargers jumped out to a 23-3 lead in and then kind of just let Baltimore back into the ball game. Philip Rivers had a very weird post-game press conference. He didn't really seem to be paying attention to the questions and just kept repeating himself, but
yeah.
He mentioned a couple times that they had chances to, you know, put the game away, and if it weren't for the defense, they probably wouldn't have been there. The field goal kicker made a couple kicks, which was just a slap in the face for later in this day, was to come. And, you know, it was telling seeing the Ravens stick with Lamar Jackson the whole way instead of going back to Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly is going to be QB1 next year. Flacco will be on the move wherever it may be. Maybe he'll retire. Who knows? But tough end of the season for the Ravens, especially given a home game, how good their defense had been, and you know what they were able to accomplish thus far.
Yeah, well, and again, similar to the Seahawks, kind of, it was just too little too late for the Ravens offense, because Lamar Jackson threw for, 156 yards or something in the fourth quarter, but obviously they were unable to recover an onside kick, and that kind of did them in. And that was the only game that you and I both predicted right.
Yeah, that was
so
one in three.
We're riding with Philip Rivers.
Yeah, silly Phil. That's all I have to say about that one. It's tough, though. When you look at a team like L.A., they had a great year, and they still have to go on the road in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And now they'll have to go back on the road to Foxborough, a team they have a better record than. So, interesting stuff. And the nightcap, the weekend cap of NFL playoffs. Eagles outlast the Bears, 16-15. Cody Parkey hits not only the upright but the crossbar on a last-second field goal attempt that would have given the Bears a win. Robbie Gould, kind of rubbing it in our faces, was in the building. He's been the most accurate kicker in the NFL since being released by the Bears. 82 of 85. That was Parkey's 11th missed field goal, and I think 6th time he's hit the upright.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of positives from this game, I would say, as a Bears fan. I'm not going to say, you know, we weren't expected to be here. It was great to be here. This is a failure of a season, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Expectations preseason were low. You know, we thought it'd be better than the John Fox era, and it absolutely was. But when you are so significantly better, you have to realign your expectations. And I think the expectations of this team was to make an NFC Championship game. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't have, and they couldn't have. I very strongly say that the Bears lost this game. The Eagles did not win it. They executed on one of four plays at the 2-yard line, and frankly, if Bryce Callahan's in there, I think that's a different play. There's a lot to say, but Nick Foles did not play well. The Eagles' defense was great against the run. Nothing spectacular against the pass. Mitch was shredding them in the fourth quarter. I mean, the mantra of the weekend, it seems like, is just too little too late for some of these teams, even though the Bears took the lead. Quirky two-point conversion play. That's what you get with Matt Nagy, and I guess we're just going to have to live with that instead of, you know, not running a jet sweep that we'd run three previous times, all to Taylor Gabriel, that go for no gain. Maybe we throw the ball, or maybe if we're going to hand the ball off, we give it to Akeem Hicks or somebody big that's actually run the ball at the goal line, but I have a lot of thoughts still. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Tough game overall. I don't know where to go with this.
Yeah. I'm sure that one or two or maybe three or maybe four people will blog about this and kind of let it all out. But yeah, the 2-point conversion looms large. But obviously the big issue was that Cody Parkey missed field goal, the double doink to and the season, and the look on Matt Nagy's face kind of was just a summation of what in the world are we doing with this guy. And the frustrating part is, obviously, he was iced, but he kind of just ran through, looked like he was like going through the motion, just kind
of
poked it through.
That was
like
the kiss of death right there. That was the kiss of death. You want to be on edge when you're taking that field goal. You don't want to feel comfortable. You want nerves. You want a little bit in you. You know, you've got to have that extra adrenaline, anxious energy, ready to push that ball through. You don't want to see it go through the uprights and then be, oh, this is, you know, I already hit it. This is going to be easy. Chip shot. You want that confidence, but you want to have that nervous energy, and it never looked like he had it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and like you said with, I think you retweeted the Tom Fornelli tweet that Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels were lauding Nick Foles for being an awesome playoff performer and for going 3-1 and everything like that.
He was terrible
when in fact he threw two interceptions and Mitch Trubisky outplayed him easily, like far and away.
To be fair, like, I just want to make a quick point. To be fair, I think that Mitch should have thrown at least two interceptions probably, but
yeah, his decision making wasn't there. But
yeah, Foles had like two or three that got dropped as well. You know, exactly. There should have been a lot more for Nick Foles. I mean, both quarterbacks should have had a bunch of turnovers, but it just didn't work out that way.
Yeah.
I still think Mitch greatly outplayed him, though.
Yeah, and the Bears' defense without – Eddie Jackson was, like, active, but I don't know if he even saw the field. He saw him in some replays on the sideline, yeah. The Bears' defense without Eddie Jackson and Bryce Callahan was still absolutely they played their tails off, and when it comes down to a kick and that's what you pay a guy $4 million a year for, it's kind of tough. And the Ravens lost and the Bears lost, so that's the two best defenses in the entire league out of the playoffs now. So expect to see what the Roger Goodell wants and lots of points and to up those ratings throughout the rest of the playoffs. But just terrible way to end the season.
And it was awful too, because the special teams have been so good for the Bears up to that point. And then you get a bad punt from Pat O'Donnell. Cousin Pat shanks one, gives the Eagles field position at the 40. They drive down and they score. And then, you know, I turned to my dad and I said, I just want a shot at this one. Like, I just want Mitch to lead a drive that gets us into field goal range. I hated the timeout call. Thought that was a huge mistake. Huge mistake. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously they run the next play. It takes 18 seconds off the clock, and they really just have one shot at the end zone, which Tony Tutty's had a step on his defender. Mitch makes a little bit of a better throw. That's probably a touchdown. But, you know, he didn't throw the ball into bad coverage or anything. He didn't make a mistake. Yeah. He just did what he had to do. He knew if he didn't think he had the throw, that's fine, and throw it away. Yeah. You gave your kicker a chance to win the game. Within his range, so he said. He said he could hit up to 53 going in that direction.
When they were talking about that, my eyes rolled back to the back of my skull, and I was staring at my brain there for a few seconds, because I was thinking you got to lessen that by 10-12 yards, even make me like not really nervous about it. But
and he just pulled the fucking kick.
Yeah, he just completely botched it. But to start off that drive, shout out to Tariq Cohen. He's been absolute spark plug all year. That was an absolute
Why wasn't he returning kicks earlier? Why do we have Bellamy back there returning kicks?
Yeah, that didn't make any sense to me, but Bellamy did make a few pretty big plays.
He did.
Yeah, but that may have been his last game as a Bear. But
yeah.
We won't bore you too much with our Bears complaints.
Yeah, the last thing I'll say is the ball was near the right hash and he pulled it to the left upright. There's just no confidence in your kick if you're going to pull it. I mean, that's as simple as it is. It's very easy kicker psychology. When you're pulling the ball, you don't think you have enough leg to get it up there. You're overcompensating, and that's just not what you need. It's tough to be a Bears kicker, I will say that much. I've never done it, obviously, but the winds coming off Lake Michigan, the swirls at Soldier Field, I've felt it before. I've been there a couple times. It's not the easiest thing in the world, and a lot of kickers say that, but this is your job. You're paid $9 million guaranteed to do this. Part of me feels bad for him from the human element, but the other part of me doesn't, because he's still walking out of there with a paycheck that's significantly bigger than anything I make.
Yeah. Well, and plus you said with the wind and everything, and yeah, that's probably been a factor in previous games and stuff, but they said two and three times that, it's been clear night, barely any wind, which was surprising enough that they said it two or three times.
So, and he was kicking down at Soldier Field all week.
Yeah, he just flat out missed it. So
there will be more playoff football next week. We've got the divisional round. Some of the air quote better teams, the Chiefs, the Patriots, Rams, and the Saints all getting into playoff action after a week off. But we also have the college football national title game coming up tonight for those listening, Alabama-Clemson. We broke it down last week a little bit. If you missed that, feel free to check it out. But we're going to head into college basketball talk to wrap up the weekend. A lot of upsets this weekend. We saw Kansas lose at Iowa State. Some Hilton magic. Kentucky loses at Alabama. Nevada gets blown out at New Mexico, which was quite the shocker for many reasons, but we'll get to that in a minute. Virginia crushed Florida State at home. Michigan State outlasted Ohio State, and Iowa beat Nebraska. I guess which of these is the most shocking loss to you?
The Nevada one for me, because you hear stuff all summer long. Oh, this team's so experienced. They're not going to play anybody. They're going to win every game by 20, 25 points. And the only, just because they're out west and in a conference that doesn't really have a big time TV deal, the only game that I've seen them play so far this year is against South Dakota State.
God, why did you remind me?
Yeah, that was like, I turned it on and there was probably like 12 minutes left and it was a 2-point game. And I thought, oh, they're going to end up coasting and win this one by 20. But they couldn't pull away from South Dakota State. And then I said, okay, maybe this team isn't as good as everybody says they are and still has to kind of work out some kinks, as any team will do before the conference season starts. But yeah, losing to, I could not name you any coach, any player on New Mexico, and the fact that you get blown out by that kind of program is not a good look for Nevada.
Yeah, so I think the big thing is New Mexico's had a big fall from grace, but the Pit is still a tough place to play. Carlton Bragg, former Kansas player, is on New Mexico. That is the only name I know on that team. Other than that, it is a barren wasteland, essentially. They have been left for dead out there in the Mountain West. I agree that Nevada was probably the toughest loss. I was thinking Kansas at Iowa State, but you look at no Doak for Kansas. That's tough. And they also turned the ball over like 30 times, which is just insane.
It's just absurd.
And Iowa State couldn't miss. Couple of those two together, and you're not going to win many games.
Yeah. But, well, Shayat going 5 for 5 there. And obviously, it's not a good look for what Kansas was ranked 5th or something. So for a top 5 team to lose by 19, 20 points on the road. But having grown up just about 40-minute drive from Ames, I know all about Hilton Magic. So no matter what, there's no shame in losing at Hilton Coliseum, really no matter the year. And now I think Iowa State has beat Kansas 5 or 6 out of the last 10 times they've played them, which you can't say is even close for anybody else in the Big 12.
So no.
Good for them.
And this is the classic Kansas, we're going to lose a real, real bad game we play early in conference season, maybe another one coming up in a week or two, and then all of a sudden people are going to say, oh, the streak's over. They're not going to win. Mm-hmm. It's over. Don't worry about it. Yep. And then all of a sudden they rattle off, 12 straight and walk their way to the conference title. But Kentucky, just right when it looked like they were getting it together, they lose their identity. No one really shoots the ball well. Tyler Hero had a chance to tie at the end of the game and just way off on his shot. The defense isn't there. Reed Travis looks completely lost. PJ Washington's playing really well. Keldon Johnson has not taken over like I thought he would. Ashton Hagans is really good defensively, but he doesn't have much of an offensive game to speak of. If he can get to the rim, he's pretty good, but he just doesn't shoot the ball well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the whole thing with Kentucky, and it's not like a absurd take that I've got, but obviously Cal's an insanely good recruiter, and when he can stack his team with 5 stars, you can just kind of roll the ball out there, and there's not a whole lot of coaching that you need to do.
Yeah.
When
Well, his big thing is lately he's had shooters. Like he's always had one or two guys that he could rely on and say, look, we need a big shot, go get it. You know, whether it's De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Booker, whoever it is, he just says, hey, get out there, we need a big jump shot, and boom, they'll hit it for him.
Yeah. And, that just kind of hasn't happened. And I think you said that they didn't even look like a top 20 team in that game.
Yeah.
They
haven't all year.
Bad early conference loss. Yeah. Your Pirates beat them, so.
They've played, I don't know, 4 real games this year. They lost to Duke. Mm-hmm. They lost to Alabama. They lost to Seton Hall. They beat North Carolina pretty handily, but North Carolina is on and off. You know, if they're not hitting shots, which is very normal for them because they're not a great jump shooting team, it's pretty much over. But Kentucky seems like one of those teams that rises to the occasion more than anything. So I said it to Kentucky fans at the Garden after we won. I said, I don't think you guys are going to have too big an issue with Auburn and with Tennessee, because I think they're just going to rise to those games and play well.
Yeah.
I never said anything else about the rest of the SEC. I just said those two teams. Because
those random games. Yeah. Those random games against South Carolina and Vanderbilt.
Exactly.
Trip them up, it seems.
Yeah. But that is conference play is underway. Very exciting stuff. We still have one last game of college football before we turn our attention fully to college basketball. And then obviously the NFL playoffs. Keep it here for your weekend recap if you ever aren't able to keep up on sports for whatever reason. And we will talk to you next week.